You're listening to Sunday Sermons for Christ Pacific Church, located in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. Let's join guest preacher Andrea Messenger as she teaches through Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 and Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
My name is Krista Little. I have a pretty familiar husband to all you guys. Today's scripture reading, we are reading from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, as well as Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles or follow along on the screen, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, and Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, I'm super excited for this morning. I'm super excited that we are welcoming Andrea Messenger to preach this morning, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. And a couple words about Andrea before I'll invite her up and invite you to warmly welcome her. So Andrea was the pastor for 16 years, the senior pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Covina. And now she with her family is, she's retired from there. And now they're a part of Glenkirk Church in Glendale. And something about both those churches is they are part of our presbytery. So they're a part of our family of churches that we belong to as ECO, the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians. It's a mouthful. That's why we call it ECO. These are partner churches of ours, and Andrea has the privilege of serving and leading in those churches. I heard Andrea speak a couple of months ago, and I don't know Andrea very well at all, actually, but I heard her speak, and I just thought, wow, we have got to hear from this woman. And so I invited her to come and to preach this morning. I think you're in for a real treat. So would you, along with me, warmly welcome Andrea. Can we pray for you?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Gracious and living God, thank you for the work that you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in Andrea's life, in her heart, in her mind. God, thank you for the ways in which you have used her to equip the church, the people of God. We pray now that you would give her abundant joy, that she would know the joy of the Lord as she shares the good news of the Lord with us this morning. Would you bless her, even as we know that we will be, as Dean would say, hashtag blessed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I love that. Hashtag blessed.
Hello. Oh, wow. Yeah. So my maiden name was Acres, as in Green Acres. My married name is Messenger, as in of God. And I thought, wow, isn't that? I met my husband at seminary, too, so that's pretty cool. But I really hope and pray that that God would bring his message, and that if there's anything that I have planned to say that is not of him, that he would certainly change that. To God be all glory. So just a brief little bit about me. I grew up in Northern California in San Carlos. And so you think, where's San Carlos? Well, okay, we have a couple claims to fame in San Carlos. One, Dana Carvey, Lori Carvey was my best friend in the fourth grade. Dana Carvey went to Saturday Night Live fame as the church lady. The church lady is based on San Carlos. The other thing is, I grew up next door to the Bonds family, Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds. And so I babysat Barry Bonds throughout my high school years. I got 50 cents an hour for three crazy boys. So And then the third thing is I live in San Dimas, and you people, where's San Dimas? Well, if you haven't watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, you've never heard of San Dimas. But the other thing about San Dimas is it's supposed to be Saint Dimas. And Dimas, by legend, not in the scripture, is supposed to be the thief that said, that Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So that's just legend. It's not actually in the scripture, but that's our claim to fame. So if you ever pass San Dimas, you can say, wow, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and St. Dimas. So, but it is good to be here. And I'd just like to open in a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, thank you for this warm fellowship. Just in coming in here, I've sensed the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just pray that your Holy Spirit would come in power. For we can do nothing. We cannot teach or preach or even rightly divide or hear your word as we should without your presence with us. So we beseech you, O God. And Lord, pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. Amen. 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 So there was this man who was at the airport, and his plane was delayed due to poor weather. And he happened to see this vending machine, and the vending machine was selling flight insurance for bad weather. And it was only $25. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to purchase this. So for $25, he bought this insurance for bad weather in case his plane crashes or something. He goes in and has some Chinese food while he's waiting. And at the end, he opens his fortune cookie, and this is what his fortune cookie read. You will have a good return on a recent investment. You know, think he's going to get on that plane? You know, there's so much to worry about today. I mean, who would have thought that we would have to worry about our safety in Walmart or at a garlic festival in Gilroy or when we go to the movies to hear that we need to be watching in case there's something dangerous. We live in a dangerous world, don't we? And some of the things that we worry about are real, and some aren't. There was, on the news this past week, and maybe you saw this, I think it went viral, there was a video at Times Square in New York. And what had happened, what you see in the video is people, just hundreds of people are just running in a mad panic every direction because a motorcycle had backfired and people thought it was gunfire. So we live in a world where there are real threats and perceived threats. But in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, they're all the same, aren't they? And we spend so much time focusing on all the what-ifs. Each week we spend, according to studies, 14.31 hours worrying. That equals to 744 hours of worry each year, which turns into 45,243 hours of worry over a lifetime. That equals 1,885 days in a lifetime spent doing nothing but worrying, which means that we spend 5.2 years of our life captured, imprisoned by worry. And maybe some of us are a little bit higher on the spectrum, huh? And yet Jesus said in Matthew 6, he says that we cannot add even a cubit to our life by worry. Worry doesn't change anything. Well, it does, because it takes our eyes off of the God who made us, the God who is in charge, the God who is on the throne. It takes our eyes off of the faithfulness of a mighty and a powerful God. So it does change things. And we know that worry can affect our health, our relationships. There's any number of ways we could try and escape that worry. So it does affect us, even though it doesn't affect the outcome. Rick Warren has pointed out that the command to fear not is in the Bible 365 times, one for every day of the year. Why? Because God knows us. He made us. And he knows that we take our eyes off of him and we put them on the situation. And again, there are real threats in this world. There's perceived threats, but there's very real threats. I know people this week have been worried about the economy, as maybe some of your portfolios have tanked. You know, we're worried about our kids, we're worried about our health. Lots of things. But the word worry in the scripture is really to give way to anxiety and unease. It allows our mind to dwell. And it's a myopic look that it takes our eyes off of a faithful and a huge and an almighty God, and it puts it on just the situation. And then that situation becomes bigger and heavier and takes more of our thoughts and consumes us. This word for worry means to strangle, literally to seize our throat. Not a pleasant sensation. But when we worry, it's like there's a chokehold on us. And this is not how a loving God wants us to live. And here's the bad news also about worry. If you had nothing else to worry about, worry's a sin. So now you also have to worry about the fact that you have committed a sin when you worry. But it's important, I think, to understand why God calls us not to worry. Because he knows us and he loves us. And when we worry, what it does is it displaces God in our life. It's as though God has gotten off the throne and he's on a cruise ship somewhere with one of those little tiki drinks, you know, frou-frou drinks, you know, and we need to worry because somehow if we worry, that's going to change things, right? We live as though God does not exist and that he's not loving and that he's not all-powerful. And God doesn't want us to be in that place because he does love us and he does exist. And he works all things out for good for those who love him and are called according to his holy purpose. Worry distracts us from the things that matter in life, the worship of a triune God who never makes mistakes. His word is true. You've probably heard this story before. It's nothing new, and I didn't make it up, but it's a story of a man who falls over a high cliff, and he grabs a branch on his way down. He's 500 feet down and another 500 feet to go, and he yells out, "Is there anybody up there?" And the loud, booming voice of God answered, "I'm up here. Trust me. Let go." Dead silence. And the man yells, "Well, is there anyone else up there?" No. No. And all our worrying and all the things that we think, if we have a bigger portfolio and even if we work out and exercise, you know, people still get diseases. Before I go on, if you remember nothing else from this time together, I'm going to leave you with the entire message of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation summed up in two words. There's one message from Genesis to Revelation. Are you ready? Yes. Trust me. Trust me. Adam and Eve struggled with that, huh? We trust him. Trust me, he says. When he enters in, as it says in the message, into the neighborhood, we can trust him. And every command is for our good. And the promises are tied to obeying the commands. He says, trust me. Why? Because he is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. I mean, if he's not, hey, all bets are off. You know, go do whatever you want. But he says, trust me. Trust me in this, he says. Trust me. Do not worry, but trust me. Well, I want to actually give us practical ways to do this, because it's not enough to go out of this room and say, okay, I'm going to trust God, I'm just not going to worry. How long does that work for? You know? Okay, 30 seconds, and then somebody cuts you off. Ah! You know, crazy drivers in Southern California. Got that. I hadn't even been worrying about that today. Now I got to add that to my list. No. So let's talk about how we might battle this worry that consumes all of us here. It consumes all of us here at one point or another. And again, sometimes it's real and sometimes it's perceived things that we worry about.
I want to look first at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul says this, that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And listen to this. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, that first thought comes in our mind and we begin to doubt. It is at that moment we must take hold of it and say, get behind me, Satan, and take hold of the truth of God's word. That is a weapon that we need to put in our arsenal. That is a spiritual weapon, because all the worry you and I do and all the planning, I'm a planner, you better believe I have lists. Those thoughts come into our head. We need to, at that moment, take authority over it. So we must be in God's word, and we must be bearing God's word in our heart. That's a psalmist said. I know you're going through the Psalms. I love that. I have buried thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. To bury it, to memorize it. You know, if you go into a bank, well, who goes into a bank anymore? If you go on your app and you try and transfer some, let's say you try and transfer $500, and they're like, you don't have $500. I know, but I want $500. Well, good. Good luck with that. You haven't deposited it. It's not there. And then you go to use it. And it is the same with God's word. You know, when it's in our heart and our mind, we can be on the freeway. We can be in the doctor's office and hear something. We can get a phone call and here's, you know, a worry about our, and we take hold. We take our thoughts captive to the supremacy of a holy and a righteous God who raised himself from the dead by his own holiness and power. Amen? Amen. And if God be for us, who or what can be against us? See, that's what we take a hold of, the truth, and we shine it. So in San Dimas, where I live, we have a coyote issue. We have a big canyon, and we live just a couple blocks from this canyon, so I don't know if you have a coyote problem here, but we can't keep a cat. You know, the only cats we could ever keep are the ones we didn't like. Okay, we had a good cat, you know. But, a coyote will be walking down the street. So we have a corgi. And I don't know if you know what a corgi is, but their legs are about this, you know. And so it doesn't have a lot of defense if a coyote comes. So in San Dimas, they've given a, you can go down to City Hall and get this whistle. Okay, there, it works. So when I was driving here today, I remembered, oh, that whistle is in my purse. Now, see, here's the thing is, I've taken Buddy, our corgi, on a whole bunch of walks since I got this whistle. And I'm just thinking, if I was walking down Stonehenge, our street, and see a coyote, I mean, I'm not carrying my purse. Where was this? In my purse. A lot of good that's going to do me. But this illustration is because we are going to come against the coyotes and the wolves and the struggles and the hardship. And we start, we're myopic and it overwhelms us. And my goodness. But when we shed the light of God's truth, the God who says from Genesis to Revelation, I am trustworthy, trust me, that he is faithful, that he cannot be anything but faithful because that is who he is. The scripture says God is not like a man that he would lie. This is truth. And when we worry, well, we are focusing on all the what ifs. And you know what? Some of them may happen. But the scripture says that what Satan means for evil, God uses for good. So even in the hardest things, God is faithful and works it out for good. And that is what this word does. I don't know, you know, and it's easy to wake up in the morning and we grab our phone and we go to social media and we, you know, I'm a news junkie. There's, you know, on the internet, you can just read every news source. You know, you don't, used to be, San Gabriel Valley has like a, it's almost like a business card newspaper that we get now. So it takes like 3 seconds to read. But, you know, hey, I've got the whole internet. I can spend all day reading the news. And all these things come into our minds and we focus on that. But when we start first with, and who knows what's true anymore, but when we first of all open the Word of God and we anchor ourselves in the truth, this then becomes our foundation. the Word of God, the truth. You know, you think about cockroaches. Well, hopefully you're not having to think about them. And now you're starting to worry, are there cockroaches in my house? But, you know, the thing about cockroaches is when do they show up? In the dark. And if you go into a room where there are cockroaches, what do? You turn on the light, and what do? Scatter. They scatter. This is the light. This is truth. And when we open it up and we stand on the promises of God, when we obey the commands and we stand on the promises of God, Satan flees. The scripture says this: draw near to God in James. That's a command. Draw near to God. And here's the promise: and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, command, promise, and he will flee. What did Jesus do when Satan talked to him and was lying? The scripture, that's right. Yeah, Satan just distorts it a little bit. You know, he's a liar. He's the prince of darkness. He seeks to rob us of our faith. He wants to put little seeds of doubt all over our minds. So we start thinking, oh my goodness, you know, God is on that cruise ship somewhere. We open the Word of God. Satan cannot stand against the truth of God's Word. We must have the Word of God. 1 Peter 5:7 says we are to cast our cares on the Lord. The word cast means to throw off with vigor. It's a picture of a hiker at the end of a long day unhooking his backpack and tossing it. You know, heavy backpack, and you think of all the worries carried on your back and in your shoulder. You know, anybody have problems right here? You know, we carry our worry and take it off and give it to the Lord. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, as in the King James. Throw all your anxieties upon him, because he cares about you. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties on him, for you are his personal concern. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you, is the message. Since God cares for you, let him carry all your burdens and your worries. Cares, anxieties, burdens, worries. God is able. God is able. Take your worries. Take your cares, take your burdens, and cast them upon the Lord. Charlene, I wonder if you could put the Proverbs scripture on. So again, I want to give us very practical things, because, I mean, worry is something that affects everybody. And we live in a kind of a scary world. So this is in Proverbs, the Old Testament. So this is a command: trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, the struggle there is you've got that word all, you know. We're not to have a divided heart. The divided heart is I've got one word, one foot in, hey, yeah, God's good and faithful, and one word, and oh my goodness, everything's falling down around me. No. All our hearts to trust in this God. And again, we need to be in the Word, because that tells us who this God is. And then it says, and lean not on your own understanding, which is also a command, because what happens when things go awry? I'm trying to figure this out. Oh my goodness. My own understanding just causes more angst. I mean, is there anybody? Am I alone here? Maybe I'm the only one. Okay, I'm wrong, but just, you know, humor me. Let's go to verse 6. So those are commands. In all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And again, how do we acknowledge him? You are faithful. You are holy. You are righteous. We acknowledge that. We preach that to ourselves. And what? What's the promise? Can you say it with me? And he will make your path straight. He will lead us. That's the promise. That's the promise. Let's go to Philippians 4. Thank you. I call this an RX. I don't think I came up with it. I probably read it somewhere. But this is like a prescription. You know, worry is an illness. It makes our soul sick. Well, here is a prescription. So again, a command: do not be anxious. And there's that word about anything. Can I just worry a little bit about that? Well, you know, maybe. No. Mm-mm. But. So then it gives us what to do. Because again, if God just says to us, don't worry, that's not going to work with me. You know, I need a little something more than that. So he gives us something more than that. In every situation, I want you right now to think about something that's heavy on your heart. Just think about something. Okay? By prayer and petition, this is an invitation to bring it into the presence of a God who loves you, God who knows everything. He knows what was, what is, and what will be. with thanksgiving. You know, one of the praise songs that made me think, Joshua, that it was just reminding us of the greatness of God. Because when we give thanks, we remember, wait, you know, God also did this. Oh, I had forgotten about that time. God pulled me out of that situation. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we remember the faithfulness of God. Present your requests to God. Bring them to God. And then what's the next verse? Promise. Can you read this with me? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So who does not want the peace of God? We are all, everybody wants the peace of God. Everybody. And we try and find peace in so many places. And there's so many places today that give us temporary at best. But this is one that transcends. This is supernatural peace. This comes from being in the presence of the Lord and handing over everything to Him. This works. And so, you know, I preach first to myself before I preach to anybody else. You know, I got to do a lot of preaching, trust me. This morning, I set my alarm knowing that, you know, it's about an hour to get here. And so I set my alarm for 5:55, and also 6, and also 6:05, because I worry about not getting, you know, what if I turn it off, you know? And then actually I put my phone a little bit away, so I actually have to reach for it. Okay, so enough about me. So at about a little bit before 5, what happens? I wake up, and I'm a good sleeper. I woke up, and what do you think happened? No, I didn't. I should have. Thank you. I'm going to write that down. Next time, just get up and get ready. Thank you. You have this wisdom. I began to worry. I started thinking about all the things, and it's dark, and I'm still half asleep. So you know what I did? Thankfully, I was preaching here today on this passage. I literally went through Philippians 4, 6, and 7 on every single thing. I just took it. You know, it's not a magic prescription. It's not a, but what it began to do is I took it away from my myopic view of how I am not in control. And there's some things in my life that are really tough. And giving it over to God, who's in control. And I did feel the peace. I mean, I just really did. And you know what? The situations haven't changed. But the good news is God never changes. Our promise is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can fully trust in Him. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you, it says in the Psalms. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, Psalm 56:3. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act, Psalm 37:5. Isaiah 45, 6 and 7, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none besides me, says the Lord. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form light and I create darkness. I make well-being and calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. I love this passage. It's God is in control. Nothing ultimately happens outside of His will. And we can entrust everything to this God. But again, if we're going to be faithful in that, we have to be in the Word. I don't know if you have a time with the Lord. And I don't say this to be legalistic, like you have to get up early in the morning and check that off. But I just know that when I watch the news and I see everything, I have to go back to the fact that God is in control. You know, my husband and I did a study with our church in the book of Daniel, and you know, oh my goodness, talk about the issues, Daniel and these Jews were facing. The world was having so much calamity, yet God was faithful. And it is that God that is faithful today. In fact, one of the things that hit me with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is when they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Okay, if you're going to worry about anything and, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's on the throne and he's saying, bow down to me or, you know, hit the fire. But, you know, they say that, no, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm paraphrasing this. No, our God is able to deliver us. And even if He doesn't, we will not bow to any other god. Not the God of worry. Amen? See, we don't bow down. So we say, well, I'll trust Him as long as I have a picture that you're going to deliver me the way I want. No, that's not how it works. I have given God so many.
possibilities on how my life could work out. He's like, I don't think so. Trusting in the Lord is that he works things out. Corrie ten Boom, who's in a concentration camp, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. We keep our eyes not on the situation, but on the God who is faithful. A.W. Tozer said this, I will do it for you. Why do you worry? I am Jehovah. I am God. I am your righteousness, your provider, healer, banner of victory, shepherd, your peace. I am your everything. So if God is all this to us, then there is no reason any of us should be worried. You're lying in bed trying to figure it all out, and Jesus is saying, it is finished. Stop worrying. Unclench your jaw. Drop your shoulders. Relax your brow and breathe deep. He has everything worked out for good and for his glory. We are in his hands. God is sending his angels ahead of you to destroy any plans of the enemy. God has got you covered. No fear, no worries. Trust in God. God closed the lion's mouth for Daniel. God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nothing we face is out of his control. So again, just one more little thing to do. You know, if you take an index card or something like that, and you just list, here are my top five worries. This is what keeps me up at night or wakes me up at night or, you know, what causes me to do this. And then memorize a couple scriptures and tear up the worries and give them to the Lord. Literally, give them, let go and let the Lord give them over. I mean, I did that with a women's retreat, and that it just, because sometimes we just need that visual. And then, you know what, when we take them back from God, we got to do it again, got to do it again, got to do it again. So our daughter's getting married this year, actually to the youth pastor from he's been at our church for 10 years. Love him. Thank you, Lord. Answer to prayer. I was worried about that for a while. Lord, I've been praying since the day they were born. And our son is married to a darling, darling woman. I just love her to pieces too. Also answer to prayer. And they they are foster. They just were licensed to be emergency foster care people, and they got a baby. We go and call him baby boy. I know his name, but I can only say baby boy. And you know, and those are the things that I worry. I just, you know, God loves them. I just give it over. What can I do? What power do I have? What power do you have? Well, we have the power of prayer. We have the power of going before a God who loves us and knows us. Is your marriage struggling? Give it to God. Ask God to change you, to change the situation, or to give you the strength to endure it. You got a child that's estranged. You hit your knees in prayer, and you start taking some of these commands and these promises, and you stand on them when the evil one would whisper in your ear. You speak back, no, my God is for me. Who or what can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We preach this and say, it's like, I guess I'll leave this situation. Yeah, but then he'll try again. You got to have it in your heart and preach it to yourself. I'm going to close with a story. My notes are lost, so that obviously means I'm not supposed to close with that story. Sometimes I get out of, I move them around. I did leave First Presbyterian Church last June, and our family had actually been there 26 years, and I was head of staff for 16 of those years, and it was hard. But I had known for about 3 years before that God, it was time for me to move on. Not because I didn't love them, because I had always thought, we have this great courtyard where we have cookies and coffee and stuff. Not donut holes, really. I'm going to tell them that'll bring the people in. But I always thought, you know, I'm just going to be buried in the courtyard. Just throw my ashes there and put a plant over it or something. You know, I thought I'd be there. But God was saying, I'm going to move you on. And I was willing to do that, but and some opportunities came up, but God kept saying, not yet. And I'm like, really, God, come on, you've told me that. Not yet, not yet. Now, looking back, I can see why that not yet, but 2 years ago, in September, I was heading off to Pittsburgh for some eco stuff, and the night before, our whole family was there, and our son said, Mom, you just need to set a date. It's time. You just need to set a date. And so we set June 20th as the date. Here's the thing.
People say all the time, how's retirement? I'm like, really? Do I look like I'm retired? Really? You think I look that old? I am not retired. I can't retire just yet. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm willing to do whatever, but I mean, I've been a pastor all my life. I mean, so we decided as a family, we gave it to God in prayer. And I'm just like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do because, you know, I'm not retired. I'm not going to start collecting stuff yet. Within that week, and the Lord kept saying, trust me in this. Within that week, three doors opened that I had no idea. Now, it doesn't always happen like that. And trust me, in my life, there's a lot of things that don't happen like that. But as we trust the Lord, he does give us those glimpses. And if we remind ourselves when we're facing something that is overwhelming, has God ever let you down? Is there anybody here who truly can say he has not fulfilled a promise? No. He maybe hasn't filled an expectation. But God is fully faithful. I don't have all the answers, and certainly I have a lot of worldly struggles and worries that threaten me many, many days, nights, 5 a.m. in the morning. But I do know that God is faithful, and I've experienced that. And my natural way is not to open the Word of God and seek the truth there. But when I do, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. And I want to encourage you with that. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, professing the truth day in and day out, and he will direct your paths. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. And just want to ask, God, that you would help each one of us. Just as we would feast on a breakfast or lunch or dinner, that we would feast on your word. God, that you would speak to our hearts, to our worries, to our struggles. And God, that every situation we have, that we would hand over to you, that we would cast it upon you. And God, you know that there are people whose hearts are heavy here today. You know it. God, thank you that the scripture says that our names are inscribed on the palm of your hands. You love us. God, you've got a purpose and a plan. You will never drop us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Help us, O God, to obey your commands because we trust you. And to stand on your promises that will never fail. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Christ Pacific Church, visit our website at www.cpchb.org and follow us on social media at Christ Pacific Church.